wondered, has anybody out there ever thought about mountain flying? I mean, I'm a flatlander myself, and I've always thought about mountain flying, but I don't know anything about it. Well, today, we have an expert with us. John Mahaney, out of good old Southern California, stopped by. John is an instructor at Flight Safety and at Long Beach, if I'm not mistaken. And he and I have known each other for so long, I can't even remember how long. Well, John, welcome to Attitude Adjustment.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Amy. Well, nice to be here.
Well, we're certainly glad you made it. And I know. Now, how long have you been? What is a mountain pilot anyway?
Someone who learns how to, the pilotage in and around the mountains and what they do and how they affect, your flying, the weather, winds, terrain, everything, density, altitude. Performance. It all is subject to change with the mountains, unlike the flatlands.
Well, rocks in the clouds just kind of do that.
and avoiding the rocks is essentially the trick.
Right.
I mean, so for flatlanders like me, I mean, how do you, have you done a lot of mountain flying, Amy?
I have done my fair share of mountain flying, but what happened was I got my CFI in California, Northern California. So I came from being a Florida flatland pilot to doing a little bit of flying in the Northeast when I was in college, so some bumps.
Right.
But then, boom, all of a sudden I'm out in Northern California and they have fog and they have these mountains and they have these winds and density altitude. Density altitude is a big one, isn't it, John?
Oh, it is. Well, what clued me in very briefly, years ago when I traveled to Alaska, I thought, gee, I can learn mountain flying. And a wise pilot there said, no, this isn't mountain flying. Our airports are at sea level. He goes, if you want to learn mountain flying, go to Idaho, where you start 5,000 feet.
You are absolutely right. And, I got to do my first riverbed-type landing last year in Idaho, and it was really wild. It was in Orofino. And I came up and over, and I could see the shelf at 1,000 and then another 1,000 feet down to the river. And I had to go out where it got a little bit wider as it was coming out of the mountains and then drop down and come back. And I couldn't see the airport for 5 miles. So you're navigating in the river canyon with a dam and power lines and bridges. And holy crap!
And you're hoping that the airport is where it's supposed to be.
I am very lucky because I have Grand Rapids Technologies EFISs in the airplane, and it gives you a little pink balloon.
Right. Yeah.
I rely on my pink balloon hanging out there somewhere in the distance. It's coming. It's coming. But it was one of the more complicated 2,000-foot strip landings in an RV-10 that I have done in a while. I got to tell you.
What really cued me in was Lori McNichol runs a course, mountain and canyon flying in Marcal, Idaho. 3 days of intense instruction in the backcountry with veteran backcountry pilots, some of whom are instructors and some of whom aren't, but they know the land so well. Classroom and airplane flying, we fly in the morning, class in the afternoon, and they really get into the nitty-gritty and what to do and what not to do, steep approaches, descending, figure eights, all that stuff. And it was a real eye-opener, and I learned, I have a lot to learn. This is not something you casually approach, because the mountain wins every time.
Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does. And I won't go IFR between the rock and the cloud.
Right.
Because my airplane is not equipped for ice. Ice is very bad. I have a small single-engine airplane.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to do well if I get into a situation like that.
And actually, my very first exposure was when I lived in Alaska in early 90s, and I flew with a gentleman, Vern Kingsford, I think, in a Super Cub on floats, and he taught me the canyon flying within a wingspan of the rocks and how to make the turn. He was right up there, and you slow down, your turn radius decreases, and how to slow down and make a turn. It's like, oh my goodness, my eyes are getting really big. This is okay, John. You're like, boy, do you get religion, but you're right up in there, and you really learn the fundamental stick and rudder skills. And then I went in Idaho. That really complemented it. And then 2 or 3 years, the FAA had a mountain flying course. Kalispell, Montana, FISDO sponsored it. And I went up as a volunteer instructor for that. Had a wonderful time. We toured Kalispell National Park, Glacier Park. Wonderful experience.
And the other place I've learned about mountains is through gliders.
Oh, yeah.
Minden, Nevada.
I'm a soaring pilot as well.
There you go. It makes all the difference in the world. If you're a soaring pilot, you totally understand those winds and how to use the lift and avoid the sink.
Well, glider pilots learn to read the sky much more closely than a power pilot will. You know, you look at the cumulus, is it building, is it dissipating, the lift will cycle. And I've tried to pass that on to power pilots just as another additional technique. What's the sky telling you? And some days you don't know because there's no visible signs, but the clouds tell you so much.
We're speaking with John Mahaney. He is an expert mountain pilot, as you probably have surmised. He also teaches at Flight Safety in Long Beach, so he's into jets too.
And I'm sitting here with my mouth open because I am in awe of this. I mean, the mountain flying that I did was, you know, in jets, and we would have an instrument approach and we'd break out of the clouds and I'd go, those rocks are sure close, but we'd land on the runway. But the idea of going out in a small airplane and doing this VFR, I mean, personally, I think it's a real interesting challenge. But I'm curious, what motivated you to do this, John?
It's a desire to learn more. It's another technique, a specialty niche within flying. And every time I learn about another specialty niche, I want to learn. So I don't, you know, I keep pushing my comfort zone farther and farther, farther out. Met a gentleman yesterday on the airplane up here who has flown the Sabreliner. I've learned there are Sabreliners. There's a course in Northern California where they teach upset recovery in the Sabreliner and the L-39. As soon as I hear that, I'm in. So I keep trying to learn. I'm a student of flying. I'm trying not to become jaded and been there, done that. Keep it fresh, keep it new, keep learning. I'm all about keep learning.
Why are you looking at me when you say
no,
jaded?
No, I'm talking
okay,
to you.
Okay, all right. I was just curious.
No, I'm just, it's infectious fun. The passion keeps driving me. Let's learn something new.
Well, that's what EAA Air Venture is all about, isn't it? I mean, come on, guys. Why are we here this week? Why do we keep coming back? Do you realize I've been coming back since 1986? I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy talk.
I was at a party. All right, I'm sorry. Let me just do a quick segue here, long as we're talking about being old.
I went to
a party last night at the Cirrus Group, and they said something like, does anybody remember when the show used to be at Rockford?
Yes.
And a couple of people raised their hands. I was one of them. I think there were five of us or something. But anyway, I really want to do this. I really want to go take a mountain flying course. And you mentioned, what was that lady's name again out in Idaho?
Lori McNichol. She bought the course. She took it over. I took it in 02. Typically, you supply your own airplane. But if you go to the website, they've got their criteria. You know, your recency of flight experience, they're really big on that. You are actually the pilot in command and not the instructor. So they don't get you into something you're not comfortable with. But they have all their criteria that you meet. They arranged for me to use a Cessna 182 that they brought in for the course. So it's very unique, highly recommended. That did so much to really expand my comfort zone and learn the limitations of a different environment like that. You don't just stumble into. She's actually helped reduce the accident rate dramatically in the backcountry because she used to, as a private pilot, fly back in there for hunting and fishing. And she's a Southern California girl. And when she saw what was going on up there, she goes, we need to do something about this. So, you know, Lori is really on the forefront of, you know, developing that course, and she's got one in Utah, the Badlands and stuff like that. So, wonderful woman. It was a great pleasure to meet the course.
Well, you know, and I've seen some, I remember when I was editor at IFR Refresher, and
yeah,
you were
writing for me, yes,
and you wrote something about mountain flying and sent in a few pictures, and I looked at some of those little places that looked like a patch of dirt folk going uphill, and you said, oh no, that's the runway right there. And I thought, okay, but I guess you really get used to that, huh?
Well, I mean, you have to get used to it, but it's tempered, you know. And also, like it worked, to digress for just a minute, we teach mountain flying as far as in a jet, takeoff performance and climb performance and how it's degraded. And a V1 cut at Aspen, holy cow, that's really different. It's a real eye-opener. What your performance, you know, your limitations there. So you really learn to respect the mountain and the approaches. Configuration, airspeed, critical to get in there safely or not go in at all.
Mm. Well, I guess that is something you learn too, are those situations where things just don't work.
Right.
You just can't do this, a go around at 9,500 feet or I don't know what. But
well, and in fact, the go around technique that I learned at McCall was on base leg, you make your abort call. Whereas in the mountains, most operators, they raise their minimums well above the FAA, what's charted on JEP charts, for comfort factor. You know, you can't get it in that close. So they allow a margin.
So, John, tell us, where, if people are interested in mountain flying, where could they get some more information?
I would say, well, having been to the course, Lori's course, McCall Mountain Canyon Flying, and there's other. I know that, I believe, Colorado Pilots Association. There are several groups in the Mountain West states, and she might even have an exhibit here or a booth. But, you know, if you Google mountain flying, because there's also a gentleman, I think, in San Francisco that's doing it. Several different operators are doing it. I just found someone in one of EA's little shops, a corner, from South Africa. He's here now teaching mountain flying. So there's a number of niche, you know, like courses that are being offered. It's really a growing thing as people are wanting to explore the backcountry, but doing it safely.
Wow. John Mahaney, that's exactly what we are all about at EAA, and we're just so thrilled that you could make it over here. I know you had a lot of challenges. A lot of people did this weekend getting into the show, but we are so thrilled that you could make it over here to EAA Radio. Thank you so much for coming in and talking to us today.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you for this opportunity, Amy and Rob. Wonderful.
Thanks, John.